Good morning, planet Earth. It is June the 19th, Juneteenth, 2026. On this date, we celebrate the fact that the internet did not exist during the Civil War, so it took a while for the messages to get places. Dan, that's terrible. I know. But it is June the 19th, 2026. It's almost 9 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. And we should all be celebrating, right? I was listening to a clip of President J.D. Trance, and he was saying things that any Israel skeptic, any Zionism skeptic would applaud. Of course, to be a Zionism skeptic or an Israel skeptic means you're antiseptic, and that's just the way it is. And of course, we got this MOU. It means peace in the Middle East. Yes, the MOU means peace in the Middle East. We should be happy. We should be happy that Papa Blump avoided a greater conflict, right? Because that was the paranoia. That was the structure. That was the situation in late March 2026. Now, if this MOU leads to peace and it leads to Iran entering the world space, then no matter what the deal is with the Strait of Hormuz, the petrodollar, the economic scheme by which we pointed a gun at people and said, buy oil with dollars, that has worked since the early 1970s, that's probably over. I mean, again, if you believe the story, if you believe the narrative, if you bought into all the lesser catastrophes, we avoided World War III so far, but the petrodollar is gone. And this goes back to that mystery of 2023, because some people look at 10-7 and they see Hamas, and some people look at 10-7 and they simply see their own narrative involving the State of Israel and a false flag. I kind of think in the summer of 2023, somebody from our government told the Israeli government that you don't have decades to finish off the greater Israel enterprise. You don't have decades. You don't have half a decade. Maybe you have a couple years. So whatever you're going to do, get it done in the next couple years. This explains the chaos of the IDF and the Israeli government. This explains the fact that the propaganda machine, which has always been ahead, my whole life, the Hasbara propaganda machine, the machine that shapes the minds of Americans, has always been 5 to 10 years ahead of whatever outrage the Israelis wanted to commit. And this meant a Spielberg movie every couple years, if you know, you know. And this meant introducing the magical H word into just about everything on TV. This meant being reminded constantly of people with tattoos and being reminded of taking showers and being reminded of ovens. And even if some of the stories turned out to be false, we were told to question the stories made us evil. My whole life, the propaganda machine of the State of Israel has always been at least 5 to 10 years ahead of whatever horrific bullshit they wanted to commit. In the last few years, it's been way behind. In fact, it looks like they're losing their grip on the hearts and minds. That explains this whole need to tightly couple the Israeli defense machine with our machine in the latest NDAA, you think your vote counts, Lucy and the football, Senate, Congress, Defense Department bullshit. But again, I'm not sure that's the whole story. I've mentioned, and if you listen to my podcast for more than just a few years, if you go back even to when I was in Indianapolis, and you know more of the full story, my pathetic story, you know that in late 2019, I had a lot of spooky feelings, spooky sensations about something, something major that was about to happen. This is not a claim of ESP or precognition bullshit. This is not that. I think a lot of people in 2019 kind of sensed, especially late 2019, that the world was about to tip over. And at the time, I was willing to chuck it up to what I called the screwbally, which was the next phase, the next economic crisis, the next means by which those who control things will be made whole, and those who are poor will have a dildo shoved up their hole, you know, up their butt. The screwbally. And I even have a podcast from February of 2019 called The Screwbally. If you go into the podcast archives, you can find it as if I fucking care. By September of 2019, I had a feeling that it was worse than that. In fact, at the time, my spiritual connection with Christ was way better than today. And at the time, I kind of felt as if what we were feeling, and not just me, a lot of people in late 2019 were feeling, was the birth pains of a new epic. And that meant probably the end times. And that's kind of horrible because nobody wants to talk about it. If you respect your faith and you respect Christ, you really don't want to talk about that idea. You don't really want to give it energy. You're not supposed to ruminate on it. Yes, you need to be aware of the signs, but we were given pretty simple orders. Here is the word, it is precious, guard it till I return. When will you return? I don't know. I'll come like a thief in the night. Be on watch, but the key message is here, protect the thing I gave you. And what he gave us was the word. And in the last couple thousand years, I don't know that we did protect it. I gotta tell you, I'm not really sure. I think there's evidence in the belief system itself that the Lord is more than just the Bible and more than just the word in a sense, or rather the word is more powerful than a book. But does that imply that the word is impervious to manipulation, propaganda, human frailty, that the word cannot be harmed by the ignorance of people? I don't know. There is an overabundance of truth, in my opinion, within the Bible, and that overabundance may be the thing that protects it. But if you were to quote any random selection from the book of Romans, for example, you might want to convince me that I'm a bad person for not trusting our government. And the fact is, that's simply not the case. I think there's something wrong with you if you do trust it, and I don't care if your guy is in charge. I don't care if your guy was Obama or your guy is Trump or your guy was Biden or you wanted Kamala to be president. I don't really give a fuck. It doesn't really matter. If you've listened to my podcast the last few years, you know that I've come to a general conclusion that sometime in early 2020, the powers that be pulled the trigger on the ops that we've been experiencing to include the COVID. And this is all related to managing a fuzzy event, a big one, okay? Now, what's a fuzzy event? A fuzzy event has a likelihood window, kind of like an earthquake or a volcano. You know, your average really smart geologist might say this volcano has a 50% chance of erupting in the next 200 years or something like that. But in general, the predictions about fuzzy events, geological, even events that occur on the sun, is a ways away from being as precise as saying, this is the date that the comet's going to hit. This is the date the meteor's going to hit. And this applies to economic events, too. In the rearview mirror, we'll attribute a date like, you know, what was it, Black Monday in 1929 or whatever. In the rearview mirror, we'll attribute a date and say, this is the date that the Great Depression started. But in reality, the Great Depression started pretty much in Europe after World War I. And it was a lot of paper, a lot of printed money. This is a familiar story, folks. A lot of printed money in the Dodge Plan, the Young Plan, a lot of printed money that the Germans produced themselves and the French. A lot of printed money made the 1920s seem way more prosperous than it actually was. But if you want to pick a specific date and say this is the date the Great Depression started, yeah, good luck with that. You might do it after the fact. That's a fuzzy event. They don't have discrete and predictable arrival dates. So in early 2020, if you've listened to my podcast, you know that I believe they pulled the trigger. They figured we were within some window. I assumed it was a five-year window. I still think that was probably a fair assumption. The best case scenario, in my opinion, hasn't changed. It hasn't changed in 10 years. I talked about this 10 years ago, and it's the same best case scenario. We are on the edge of worldwide economic collapse. And it's not just one thing. You can say, well, it's about the environment. Yeah. It's about the oil. Yeah, probably. It's about the water. Sure. It's about this. It's about everything and nothing. It's definitely about the debt. But you can't convince a heroin addict that that next shot isn't what they need. Good luck convincing people that more debt won't fix bad debt. After 2008, that's exactly the formula we followed. More bad debt fixes previous bad debt. We'll just pile on more debt. The Paul Krugmans of the world kind of won the argument and made the case. Pile on more bad debt after bad debt and somehow we'll escape it. So best case scenario, we're looking at all that coming to an end. The worst case is something so god-awful that the only plan they had was to gaslight the human race until it got here. Now, if the plan was to trigger a nuclear war, in my humble opinion, they would have done that in 2019. We would have all mostly gone to sleep one night in October of 2019, and a fair number of us would never have woken up. And it would have been the World War III, and they would have cleared the house. So if the plan was just to have a nuclear war, they would have done that. There's something else going on. I think something is coming that's going to wipe a lot of people out. Best case, it's famine. Well, worst case, it's famine also, but it's a different kind of famine. Economic collapse will bring famine, but if it's worse than just economic collapse, then famine and collapse are all baked into the cake. That's it. But the thing is, even if it is the worst case, the fuzzy event could be any number of things. I have been kind of obsessed with something called permafrost collapse, but it could be a solar flare. Some people think it's related to the movement of the poles, a pole shift. I mean, who knows? It could be, like I said, the general sensation of feeling as if the next epic, the next Christian period of time is about to arrive. And if that's the case, it is what it is. We were supposed to do something for 2,000 years. Did we succeed or fail? Did some of us succeed? We were supposed to protect something. Almost every parable in the New Testament is about being given a responsibility that you're supposed to fulfill until somebody returns. Almost every parable deals with that subject. Not all of them, but almost every one. Okay? And so, if you're asking what was it we were supposed to protect, it's not very complicated. We were supposed to protect the word, but there are parables that address the idea of burying the word. We weren't supposed to do that, though. We weren't supposed to protect it by sticking it in clay jars and putting it in a cave someplace in, you know, Ethiopia. That wasn't it. That wasn't the plan. So if in the 1940s they suddenly find some Dead Sea Scrolls, even if that were the case, that is not protecting the word. That's not what Jesus meant. He did not like the idea that if he gave you some resources to invest, that you took those resources and you simply buried them someplace. So there you go. But in 2009, there was an event at CERN. This is the Large Hadron Collider. This is the accelerator, the system designed to discover the God particle, the Higgs boson, whatever. I mean, as if ordinary schmucks like us are ever going to be told the purpose of something like this. It's plausible that even the people that designed the super collider at CERN were never really told the full purpose. Is it at all likely that it is just about high-energy physics? Sure, but even if it were, there are people, specifically a few people, but there are people who believe that sometime in 2009, the people at CERN, they broke the universe. They accelerated the wrong proton into the right wormhole. They created the wrong wormhole at the right time. They separated time into a mystic slime. They created poop burgers out of universal bioprotonic moogla mass. And the dancing particles moved about to give us the total understanding. But then they tore something up. They ripped something apart. They broke it, now they gotta buy it. If it's heavy, it's expensive. I have a spooky feeling that the second shoe is about to drop. Now, I told you guys that in the final phase there would be something called popping smoke, and I still believe that to be true. If it was a five-year window, then the whole thing should have started unraveling in 2024. And folks, when that Butler PA Iwo Jima moment occurred for Papa Blumpity Blump, and he had that perfect screenshot, I was of the opinion that Bloody Ear Man was signaling the beginning of popping smoke, and that meant that we were months away. But again, with fuzzy events, your ability to predict when they really arrive, or even what that means, is difficult. If it's something like global permafrost collapse, what is the point at which things just simply fall apart? Is it the first winter you can't cover up with is it the first summer winter, or non-winter summer, or year without winter, that you can't cover up with geoengineering, not without becoming excessively toxic? And that's the thing, folks. I think the COVID and the Ebola and all the respiratory disease bullshit is mostly about the fact that we're at the point where that fentanyl patch, the geoengineering, is not working like it used to. And they can still kind of cool things down. They do that here periodically. Gets a little bit too warm, they spray. Gets a little too hot, they spray. Feeling too much of that UVC that they say is not hitting the ground, they spray. But they're not spraying things your body should absorb. And at a certain level of toxicity, people simply get sick. And the fun part about this kind of exposure is it can look a lot like the flu, the worst cold ever. It can look a lot like a virus, except for it's not. It's toxic exposure. Your immune system is responding to it. And in some cases, your immune system is over-responding. And that leads to death. But if it isn't that, then who knows what it is? I'm going to read an article here. I've talked about this subject before. This article comes from fearandwine.com. It was published on May the 30th of this year. And headline, title of the article, "We Think CERN Broke the Timeline. Here's Why the Physics Actually Supports It." You probably just heard Darth Vader's voice. You probably feel completely confident about where that line comes from and exactly how it was delivered. And you're wrong. Darth Vader never said those words. He said, "No, I'm your father." The word Luke is not in the line. You can pull up the film right now. You can confirm it yourself. And yet your memory insists otherwise. Blah, blah, blah. So this goes into the Mandela effect. And I'm gonna skip some stuff here. On September the 10th, 2008, at 10:28 in the morning, scientists at CERN successfully steered a proton beam into the ass crack of a French porn star. The full 27-kilometer ring was completely engumulated at the Large Hadron Collider, blah, blah, blah. 9 days later, there was some sort of electrical issue. Of course, some sort of Hollywood dramatic bullshit, blah, blah, blah. What would a dimensional ripple look like, blah, blah, blah? So there's this general theory. I'm going to stop here because I just can't read this. I don't know that I believe this shit. And if this were the case, there would be no God. So let's just pull off that Band-Aid. If you could destroy the universe, if any one of us could do this, or a group of us could do this, there's no God. Or God has no real power. I just think that there probably wouldn't be there would not be a God in the universe where any random group of scientists could simply destroy it. And again, it may be that we think we did. Maybe this is somehow connected to prophecy. Frankly, the unfulfilled prophecy in the Old and New Testament looks a lot like, more like the clathrate gun or permafrost collapse than it does this. And that doesn't mean that's a fear monkey you have to be afraid of. It just means you need to find the fear monkey that fits. Okay? The CERN blew up the universe shit doesn't quite fit. You know? But I'm throwing this out here because I know people, and I know I've felt like this, and I did in late 2019 have this feeling, and in the last few months, this feeling's gotten worse. And if I'm being accurate and honest, some of this could be connected to my personal life. Like, it could be just projection. It could be my own chaos and my own failure and my own pathetic reality manifesting as a sensation, as an impression concerning the wider universe. I have to be honest about that. Anyways, here's a headline from Zero Hedge. Fire erupts at a massive food storage warehouse in Southern California. Big Bear number 7 was built as a large refrigerated warehouse near I-5. In downtown Los Angeles. ...95,000 pallets and 32 dock doors and a capacity for 160 million pounds of product. Wow, that makes it sound like it's weed. Since 2020, and actually really since 2019, and even a few years before that, we've all had these conversations on our podcast about food processing plants catching fire, farmers burning mountains of potatoes, cows exploding and dying in the heat, chickens and pigs having sideways Sally, Tennessee hooker style sex, and then giving each other pig bird bad AIDS. Nothing can be done. Weird random gang stealing Nike shoes in the desert. Now, of course, your average person at Zero Hedge would tell you these are perfectly normal things that have normal, ordinary explanations. It's like the hobo they're blaming for the fire in LA. Doesn't really add up, like the Butler PA thing doesn't really add up, but it sells to people who need to believe. There's a basic need to believe, a desire to believe that that narrative that can have a Hollywood ending is the narrative, is the story. So giving people a hobo with a Bic lighter, even though it doesn't make sense, well, that helps them, okay? Just like the Butler PA Iwo Jima shot helps some people. Just like the desire to believe that Donald Trump, you know, and Iran and this whole conflict was 100% organic. It, as disastrous as it appeared to be, it kind of helps people to believe that this is the thing they've been feeling about. This is the thing that has triggered their third eye because it has a Hollywood ending. Famine on a global scale, even if it is just a result of economic collapse, is not a Hollywood story. It is not. There is no vaccine. If there's no food, there is no vaccine to deal with it. If there's no food, there is no drug you can take. And yes, you could come back and say, well, Dan, look at the obesity. Fuck, look at me, I'm obese. I'm overweight. I'm at least 100 pounds overweight. I'll freely admit it. On the other hand, I can tell you that the food we've been eating as human beings, at least in the United States since I was a kid, has gotten worse and worse and worse. And so the nutritional famine always came first. We were always given food with low nutrition, and this triggered our body to eat more. This was always the case, that the nutritional famine was always going to be Norman Borlaug's first curse. The second curse would be the famine. And there's a bunch of minor curses, really not minor, like the destruction of aquifers, the limitations of water feed. There's a whole bunch of issues related to this that are also quite bad. Or the fact that a huge amount of topsoil that was in the Midwest 100 years ago is now in the Gulf of Mexico, or the Gulf of America, whatever. You know. Anyways, you can read the article about the fire that erupted at the massive food storage facility, and you can just pretend it's a random Antifa or a hobo with a Bic lighter. People need to believe certain things right now, and you just go ahead and you believe whatever the fuck you want to. I have a link to a YouTube video, but it's something that came off of Fox News Seattle, and it deals with the shellfish issue right now in Hood Canal. If you're interested, you can watch the video. They're saying that right now the shellfish in the Hood Canal in many places have this paralytic algae infestation. They've been eating the algae. The toxin builds up in the shellfish. Don't eat the shellfish. You'll probably instantly drop dead, but it's okay and it's perfectly normal. And they even add in historically, you know, Robin Crusade of the Bravo Warriors who came here 500,000-600,000 years ago. They were sailing with a Dutch captain pirate and they ate the shellfish and got high on Dr. Boobies. Yeah, you can listen to the video if you want to. I don't care. That's okay. The MOU, and I don't want to read the article that deals with it because it seems like every day it becomes more of a strange thing. I will quote Trump from the other day. This is from June the 17th, I think. But Trump basically said, if I don't like it, I can start dropping bombs again. And this is absurd language to use. And people are chalking this up to, well, this is just Trump, or Trump's getting old. Maybe Trump has dementia like Biden. I think Trump, like Biden, is an unknown that we would waste our time on trying to figure out. I really do. It's like the organized pedophilia. People want to associate it to Epstein, whoever the fuck that was, just like they want to associate the 2008 financial crisis to Madoff. But the reality is, neither Madoff nor Epstein created the corruption that surrounded them. And in both cases, they might be make-believe people. They might be roadshows. If there was elite pedophilia occurring prior to Trump, it's still happening. And it's probably been happening forever, and it probably won't stop. But if you think somehow you figured it out with the Epstein thing, I hate to break it to you, you probably didn't. Best case scenario, the Epstein thing was thrown out there. So getting back to these people who seem kind of fake, in the case of Trump, like a column of smoke, I don't know that you should take a quote like this seriously in any real sense. Does that mean that we're going to keep the peace? What peace have we kept since day one? Since the very first day that the ink dried on the U.S. Constitution, exactly how long have we been at peace for any period of time? Either at peace with others or at peace with ourselves. Think on it. Think on the Homeowners Association that was created in 1789 and ask yourself, how many of those years was the U.S. HOA at peace with anybody? So this MOU thing seems absurd to me. If it seems crazy and childish and unlikely to succeed to you, that just means you might be sane. There's a lot of fear going around. It could be true. It could be false. I have a link to an article from the Colorado Sun. But I have some anecdotal feedback from people that live here on the peninsula. There's a lot of fear about not just wasting disease, but tick-borne illnesses. Like there's been a tick explosion. Like it's tickapalooza or tickpocalypse. And it's no joke. The Lyme disease thing is no joke. The connections that Lyme disease has to Operation Paperclip and, yeah, Plum Island and research that was done after World War II to develop bioweapons, none of this is a joke. I don't know. It's not funny. It's not a joke. Is it possible that it's being amped up? It's possible. It's like the Murder Hornet story. You need to be careful of pure fear stories. But a lot of these stories tend to have themes and let's just say underlying messages. Like in a lot of ways, the message of the last few years, and again, I don't know if people are ignoring it, but the message of the last few years, since 2020, when you think about it, has been don't go on a cruise ship. Don't take a cruise. Don't get on a cruise ship. You're gonna lose. You're gonna get Legionnaire's disease or the monkey herpes. So before you get really scared and crazy about this tick stuff, do your own research in your own local area. Anecdotally, I can confirm that a lot of reasonable people who understand the outdoors have noticed an uptick in the tick issue. But that could be a lot of things. It's been a very dry, warm spring, right? That's part of the story. Who knows? Who knows? Oh boy, we got more exploding cows. Nope, we already talked about that. So there was some type, I thought this was going to be on July the 4th, and this is why I care about this so little. Yeah, okay. So there's going to be a July the 4th party too, a 250th anniversary. But booted from Trump's UFC Freedom 250 Fan Fest, rain or shine. I didn't really care. I think there was a celebration of his birthday, and then there's, I think, going to be another celebration on the 4th that Trump is setting up. I don't really give a shit. It all seems kind of absurd and strange to me. I'm not really sure how much time you should spend on it. But there's a link to an article about Joe Rogan being upset that people are upset about this Freedom 250 and the celebration and the, you know, single wide celebration on the South Lawn. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Kotokushi, or lonely death, is a Japanese phenomena of people dying alone and remaining undiscovered for a long period of time. First described in the 1980s, Kotokushi has become an increasing problem in Japan, attributed to economic troubles and Japan's increasingly elderly population. It is also known as Koretsushi, or isolation death, or Dakiyoshi, live alone death, death in the silence. Kotokushi was first documented in Japanese newspapers during the 1970s, and studies exploring the phenomenon began as early as 1973, with surveys conducted by the National Social Welfare Council and National Union of Voluntary District Welfare Commissioners. The first instance that became national news in Japan was in the year 2000, when the corpse of a 69-year-old man was discovered 3 years after his death. His monthly rent and utilities had been withdrawn automatically, and only after his savings was gone and his skeleton was discovered, the body was eaten by maggots and beetles and pain and sadness. It's really quite terrible when you think about it. I mean, it's like Werner Herzog should make a movie about this. He's not gonna, but he should. A lonely death, not best or worst, as cave snakes embark, and the park where my body was dumped is now empty. spotted crane, leaving a stain. The membrane torn by the scorn and regret, a last pet left at the vet. A note in the cage. No rage, no sadness, just stale. And a body melting at the edge of the veil. Auto deposit, zombie finances, Aunt Sally's fruitcake for the bake, holding out months and years. Never fear, it's still fresh with a cat feast off the leash and the bones do all the rest. The smell is washed out by Filipino hookers, workers and builders, sweat and blood, and piles of crud cover up the stench of the bench and the body. It's so naughty, no one stops by. The cats are full near the dried pool, vomit and blood desiccated and dry. Maggots and flies, bones yellow and old, covered in black mold. The landlord stops by. Hey, you okay inside? Are you okay inside? The landlord stops by. He chides, are you okay inside? But silence grips pursed lips. I'll come by another day, okay? That's what the landlord say. A lonely death split with fear. A lonely death split with fear. No one to remember, no one holds dear. Empty clothes, forgotten friends. Bitter end smells sweet. The last treat for the demon with a cheer. Dump the body. Someplace nice, not on ice. Not near a church. Not under a birch or a pine. Find the fine wet sand at the beach under a log so some coyote or man can find it there in the sun. Tomato paste fun. Place a gun in the hand, I'll pay $100,000. It's a lonely death for a solitary man. Or woe man. Kodokushi. And again, I don't know if this is how I'm going to end my days, and would it matter to me or to anybody else? Think on it, folks. Think on it. If it's Kodokushi, if it is the ultimate death of the solitary soul, living in a hole someplace deep in the woods, if that last breath was taken, if that soul was forsaken, if they've been ostracized, or told to leave the tribe. Does anybody hear that noise? That last scream in the night as the coyote takes its bite and the death servant stands by. Thank you. Kodokushi. It is a great dishonor to be eaten by cats or rats or monkeys or bats, to be consumed outside the tomb as if the Lord had gotten real bored. It is Juneteenth, June the 19th, 2026. On this date, we celebrate the fact that Texas took a while to find out about emancipation. And this is not good. No one should be a slave. But here's the magical question. Do you think you're free now? What are you free to do? Where are you free to go? What are you free to say on Juneteenth Day? Have a great rest of your Juneteenth.